Thanks for tuning in to the Dogwood Media Solutions podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cumby, and today we'll be talking with our owner, Brian Harris, about his favorite social media platform, LinkedIn. Hi, and welcome to the Dogwood Media Solutions podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cumby, and today Brian and I are back to talk about social media and specifically LinkedIn. LinkedIn is Brian's favorite social media platform, so I know this is going to be a good one. So as a marketing agency, we work with social media a lot, and we talk to our clients a lot about the different purposes of social media platforms and the audiences for different ones. And sometimes the differences are a little bit subtle, but on LinkedIn, it's kind of a league of its own. It's its whole own platform. So last year, Brian wrote a blog with four reasons why people should use LinkedIn. And you kind of wrote it from more of a personal perspective. Mm-hmm. So I thought that we'd run through those and kind of talk about the personal reasons to use LinkedIn and then go back and talk a little bit about why businesses should be on LinkedIn. Okay. So that's the plan for today, Brian.
That you sounds ready? Like a fun plan. Let's get to it.
So first of all, tell the people why. I guess this is the point of it, but tell the people why you love LinkedIn so much. Well, that's your favorite one.
I like it just because it's about the business perspective of it, I guess. It's a lot cleaner. There's not as much drama happening in there. Mm-hmm. In fact, a lot of times as people start putting things that are political or whatever else, you hear, this isn't Facebook. you see that comment a lot on there. And I'm like, yes, finally. Like, people get it. Like, this is not really for airing out those kind of things. Now, people want to hear about, like, your new job position or your promotion and that kind of stuff. Even like I've seen people share about their kids and like something that really great happened to their kids. Mm-hmm. And that's okay because you're like, it's like LinkedIn's like this positive place.
Yeah.
Imagine. it's, I mean, because it's people have really tried hard to keep it that way that, you know, you might see something. I saw someone the other day. He's like, today, unfortunately, I found out that I'd lost my position. And he explained like how great this company had been to work for him. He actually had worked at Meta, and he was part of the round of layoffs that happened there recently. And he's like, I love this position, even though I didn't get to be there very long at Meta. But I had a great experience there. Shout out to my supervisors. Best team ever worked with. I loved every minute of being at this place. I wish it didn't have to end like this. Mm-hmm. And like then people just came in and were like, man, you got a great attitude. You're going to find something fast. And yeah. Like you see all the likes, you see all the positive comments reinforcing like this is how you walk out of this kind of situation. And it was just a positive thing. I'm like, this is why I like LinkedIn. I mean, you can go lose your job, but it'd be one of the saddest days, but still be positive about it. And still get support from people that are rallying up behind you. And a lot of times, those kind of people that do that kind of thing, people are like, oh, I know about a position open. Mm-hmm. You need to go check out this company over here. They're looking for a remote person to do almost exactly what you're doing.
And right.
And so it helps them find those leads to be able to go find the next position. Maybe that was not the right position, but at least their name's getting out there and they're getting some organic help from other people to help them find other positions.
Yeah, and I feel like even when people are, I don't know, not negative, but like they're talking about something that's difficult or something that's
the airing of grievance.
Yeah. I mean, but it's not in the way of like these people suck and I hate it here and like all that kind of stuff. It's like, hey, this is an issue I'm having. Does anybody else in this industry have right. any advice?
They're like, going for support, mm-hmm. not for just kicking dirt kind of thing.
Yeah. Cause this is a Facebook group, not a LinkedIn group, but there's a Facebook group that I'm in. That's like women in marketing. And, mm-hmm. It has the kind of that same vibe of like, even when people are coming like, hey, like this client is being really difficult. Here's the situation that's happening. It's not like a, you know, let's all just hate on somebody. It's right. like, hey, I'm asking for help. How can I handle this situation and like be professional about it?
So I found on Facebook, you still manage to get that spammer in the group.
Though. Oh, of course.
And on LinkedIn, you just don't see that though. Mm-hmm. You don't see that. I mean, there's going to be people that the spammers on LinkedIn are the people who are sending you in-mail messages.
Right.
And they're having to pay for that. Mm-hmm. So at least I'm like, at least this person had to pay for the privilege to be able to send me that in-mail that I'm now going to ignore. Or even if I reply back to them, because maybe I have a connection with them, it's going to be, hey, thanks for reaching out. I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. And that ends the conversation. You don't see them coming back going, oh, man, you know, you really need to look at this a second time. It's mm-hmm. not happening like that. They're not trying to sell you sunglasses. They're only trying to sell you some type of business service also, too. So it's a legitimate way of connecting. I've connected with people that have been turned into clients for us here mm-hmm. at Dogwood through that time at LinkedIn. So
Yeah, well, that's kind of exactly what your second point was. The first one was that there's, you know, the less drama on LinkedIn, but the second one was making those business connections. So
that's been huge.
Yeah,
I mean, I've paid for LinkedIn, the service, for maybe 2 or 3 months at a time, just to try it out, and it's helped me to connect with people, but really even helped me connect with people I already knew in real life to be able to go say, oh, that's what that person does. I didn't know they even worked there. I saw that their website looked like it hadn't been updated in 8 years. I might just reach out to them and just be like, hey, you know what I do? Also, guess what? They can see my profile and see what we do here at Dogwood. Right. Because I put on there, like, here's what the kind of services we offer. So people will see my profile, and then they follow up on it from there. And I share things that we post on our Dogwood account also. Like a lot of our blogs, we reshare them, and I read then reshare them from my account. Mm-hmm. So they're going out to my followers, which, I mean, right now I've got over 1,100 followers on LinkedIn. And it's been – those are all business connections. Mm-hmm. And I don't accept just anyone. I mean, I want to grow my audience, but I want it to be people that – or my followership, but I want it to be people that actually I know. Mm-hmm. I'll get requests from people I don't know, or are obviously trying to sell me something. I'm probably not going to accept it. But if it's someone I'm like, oh, okay, I met them at the Pike Road Business Association last week, I'm definitely going to accept that one. I met them at the Kiwanis Club meeting. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of person I want to connect with. And we might not be looking on the same page, but maybe down the road. I mean, I went to a Kiwanis Club meeting just recently and met a guy there who his wife, he told his wife about us being at the meeting. And then she called me about a website project.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so that's kind of stuff. I've connected with her on LinkedIn. And that's a great way to do this. And then it's happened multiple times, and it always turned into a paid project, but at least it turns into a connection. Mm-hmm. And that person can then tell someone else, like, oh, I did talk to them. They weren't the right fit for us, but they're actually work with more companies like you, is what they told me, or what I saw in his profile. And so that's a good thing. I like that about that. So,
yeah, I've found it really interesting because of, you know, just the generation that I'm in. Like, I've grown up with social media, but a lot of my friends that graduated from high school were now connecting on LinkedIn, which is really interesting because we might not have kept up with each other personally, but now we're getting to connect with each other from a professional standpoint. And it's interesting to see where everybody ended up and how we might be able to connect with each other and what types of things we could help each other with. So that's been really interesting and in a completely different connection way than most social media platforms are really aimed at.
Well, even when it comes time for us to say we have a position open, because you've connected back with those people from high school or college, you're like, oh, look, that person's he's moved into the website development area. And so, you know, we might have a position open in that. And that's the first person you're going to think of.
Right.
Or even you might just go search your LinkedIn for website developers that are first person connections. And you'd be like, oh, I didn't know he was a website developer. I remember him. He's a quality person. Mm-hmm. I need to tell Brian about that guy so he can call him, you know, or let me reach out to him to see if he's even would be interested in talking to someone else about that. Because sometimes people leave happy situations all the time. It happens because there could be personal things happening in their life that make them want to move back this direction or making them open for that. Maybe it's a salary thing. I don't know. But you end up finding those connections that way. Mm-hmm. You know, those high school connections, one of the great things too about getting to see them is it kind of tells you why they have their job, which I'm not sure if you saw that as my next point on there, because that's a big piece. And I've worked with different clients who are like, why do I need to be on LinkedIn? I'm not looking for a job. And it's like, well, it's not about you looking for a job. It's a lot about telling people why you have the job that you're in, because I want to know how you became the executive director. Why did you earn that position? And so having that on your LinkedIn profile, basically showing the steps that led you up the ladder to get that, it helps people to respect you more in that position, because they say, oh, they really actually know their stuff. They did this, 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 and then they actually become executive director. I mean, it also can show the opposite thing if maybe you didn't earn the position, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, I was about to say, sometimes that's a red flag when you go on there and there's no job experience, and then it's like CEO.
Yeah, it's like, I was the secretary, and then I became the CEO.
Right.
Oh, so like, you were the person that just made it, you know, you're the rat on the ship, you know.
It's like, what happened in between there?
And it does happen. I mean, maybe that an executive assistant does, because they can go back and show maybe some type of experience they did an executive assistant position to be able to get the executive director position. So I mean, but that's what LinkedIn's for, is I feel like it's one of another positive thing about it, is it does show people why you do have your job.
Yeah, I probably need to go in and update my titles on LinkedIn. Because, you know, I've been here now for 4 years. And before that, I was at another place for a year and a half or so. But my growth isn't going to different places. My growth is what I've done within one mm-hmm. place. So I probably need to go in and update those things.
Well, LinkedIn will show the progression of your titles also. Mm-hmm. Like you'll just put in there, I had this title from this date, and then I became the senior. And so I moved my title here. Then I became account manager, and I changed my title here. Mm-hmm. And so people can kind of watch your progression. And even then, even like the stuff you've done inside your title has not always been the same, because mm-hmm. that's evolved too with the business. As Dogwood has grown, I mean, we have 15 employees now. When you were hired, you were employee number four. Mm-hmm. And so the responsibilities of a four employee agency is a lot different than a 15 employee
right,
agency.
Right.
And so, you're going to expect that to change, not your titles, but even just the things you do. Mm-hmm. So imagine if you had to do all the stuff you did back when we only had four employees.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
That's, think about this. I did everything everyone's doing in this place right now at one point. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it. There's no way I could do it now, because every person here has been doing it now. And like they've gotten used to it. They know exactly what they're doing. They know their clients. I mean, I could probably hop in and help, mm-hmm. but they're better at it than I am at this point, because they're doing it on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, and this industry changes so quickly. I mean, if you're doing something and then you change mm-hmm. to something else and you're not still doing that thing, I mean, within a year, you're behind.
Yeah. I mean, I could build a website right now. Right. If you told me to go build a website. In fact, I did that a couple months ago. I built mm-hmm. a website, but it was a holiday, and I said, "Hey, Lauren, I know today's a holiday, but don't know how to make this piece. Can you help me?"
Yep.
And then same thing with managing social media. With our Dogwood Journal, I went through our Sycamore Social to set up all the schedules on that. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't have known how to do that without being able to go, "Hey, Lauren, how did you do this?"
You know?
And because you're still doing those kinds of things on a daily basis with your team, mm-hmm. I was able to go to you as a resource. But I knew how to do it. I just needed like a refresher, basically.
Right. Yeah.
But all this this kind of got off course there from our job, from what we were talking about. But
yeah. So the next point on your blog that you wrote was talking about how LinkedIn helps you find job opportunities. Obviously, no one here is looking for job opportunities.
No, of course not, because people are here forever.
Right. Exactly. People want to stay here for their whole lives. But
at least you do, right, Lauren?
Of course. Right. I mean, you've got me for 4 years. Might as well stay here for.
I've got evidence. You said it. So. You ever try to leave? I'm gonna go, "Hey, we're podcast, whatever number episode this is. I don't even know where we're at right now."
Yeah.
I go, "You said you would never leave."
Right. Remember? That's legally binding.
I'm realistic. I understand it's going to happen at some point. And some people along their journey, they're going to get really good at some things. And there's going to be someone willing to pay them more than I am, or able to pay them more than I am mm-hmm. for that position. And so that's what LinkedIn's for. And I love being able to celebrate when our employees get to move forward in a position, even if it's not here, that's a better fit for them. Mm-hmm. We've had that happen several times. I think back to Brittany Bradley was probably one of the first ones. And she didn't have a LinkedIn profile. She wasn't looking for a job. But it just makes me think about this kind of off topic again. You know, when she came to me and said, "I've been offered a communications director at Montgomery Catholic," I was like, and she was in tears. And, mm-hmm. and I was like, Brittany, this is a happy thing.
Right.
Like,
don't be sad.
Like, don't be sad. Like, this is exciting. Your kids go to school there. You graduated from there. It's a full-time job. And at that time, all we have is a part-time graphic designer.
Yeah.
And
that's a dream.
She wasn't even looking for a full-time job. But when they offered this to her, it made sense. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, how can we be mad about that? You know?
Right.
And that's, I understand that's why people have LinkedIn profiles. There's going to be something that comes along that it's going to eventually be that thing they want to do. Even you, Lauren, there might be something out there, but we hope not. So that's a part of the employer's responsibility at that point, is to make sure the people that are your key employees, and to give them reason not to leave, mm-hmm. you know, making sure that they're taken care of financially, and not just financially, but with their job responsibilities, making sure they match and making sure they're happy and mm-hmm. they're able to maintain a work-life balance. And that's the kind of things we try to promote at Dogwood. So, but all that back to say, the job opportunity openings, I mean, that's part of why you have a LinkedIn profile, mm-hmm. because you might not even know, even if you're not looking for the next position may come find you.
Right.
And that's going to happen. I mean, it's happened to me when I've been in a position I've been very happy in, and someone's came in and approached and said, "We want you to come do this." I mean, that's actually a very nice thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love being able to find people that are happy where they're at there's sometimes you have to find people that are searching for a position, but it's really cool when you go find someone that's already happy where they're at and then can tell them, "We had the perfect position for you."
Yeah.
I mean, and going through LinkedIn, I can be able to go through that and go, "Okay, that person's does this stuff. And yeah, they're that company," but it doesn't hurt to ask them mm-hmm. and to see if they may be interested. Maybe something at Dogwood piques their interest. You know, maybe we're able to give them a little bit more money than what they're making now. And maybe that's what's important to them. That's not always a good thing, but, you know, but still.
I digress.
I know. I've done that several times in this podcast, but.
That's okay. Well, that really is a good segue into kind of flipping from personal uses of LinkedIn to more business uses, because you, I mean, obviously, if you're looking for a job on LinkedIn, we've all seen those little banners that say like open to work or whatever. But on the flip side, if you're hiring, there's also lots of ways LinkedIn can help you to find new employees. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, if you look at the top of our featured image on this blog post, so when you go to Dogwood Media Solutions, four reasons you should regularly use LinkedIn from July 25th, 2022. The featured image banner is actually of my LinkedIn profile, and I have the purple hiring banner on there, the hashtag hiring. And you can actually see that I had the paid LinkedIn at that time, because I don't remember what position we were looking for in July or June, whenever I took this picture. But
I don't know.
I can't remember either. But at that point that we were advertising for it, I put that profile on there just to try to catch people's attention, saying, hey, Dogwood's hiring. We're looking for a position right now. And so, yeah, it's been great for that. We've put out positions. The position right now, as we record this, we have out there, we actually had put it out there on LinkedIn, had, I think, 469 or 65 applicants, something like that. That's a ton of applicants. Now, you're going to get a lot of people in that mixture that are not even qualified, not even close. Even though you try to be like super specific that we're, you know, we might hire a remote employee for this, but you need to live within 6 hours. People just don't comprehend that for some reason. I don't. They're like, 6 hours, you know, I could live 10,000 miles away and I can fly there in 6 hours.
Right.
And no, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for someone that could drive here, you know. But that's the kind of thing you have to work for it through, and it does take time to do that kind of thing. But the great thing is that LinkedIn does have a lot of people out there that they're using LinkedIn to find other positions. And so we can go out there and spend a budget, say, if we budget it $500 or $750 to go look for a position, and we'll find a lot of candidates doing that with those positions, as long as they're well-written. And sometimes it's almost better not to put too much information in there because you can draw more people in and then be able to weed them out from there. But you also at the same time still want to put enough information to be able to find the right people.
Right. We've got the people can, you know, find out that you're hiring and they can look for open positions. And as a business, you're able to pull people in and find out if that person's the right fit for you. But also from that same kind of idea as a business, when people are looking to potentially work with you, your LinkedIn profile tells a lot about your company and the, you know, your values and that kind of thing. So talk about a little bit how your LinkedIn profile as a business is important for how you display yourself.
Yeah. Well, Dogwood has our LinkedIn profile out there. Of course, anytime we have a job opening, it pops up on our profile. Whenever we share posts, we can go out there and actually send a notification out to all of our employees that are LinkedIn, they're linked to us via LinkedIn, and it will send them a notification for asking them to go out and share it with their audience also too. So LinkedIn's built in these built-in sharing options. LinkedIn also lets any person that's an employer of us be able to share our page with them and get their friends that they're linked to on LinkedIn to link back to Dogwood. You notice there's a lot of links in this. but they make it where you can invite 250 people per month to do that.
Oh, that's more than I thought it was. I thought it was 100.
It went up to 250 now. And so a lot of times I'll go through my list and every couple of months, because I add in probably about 10 or 15 people every month of like actual genuine connections. And I'll go back in once a month and then go back through and invite all the people I want to ask in there. Some people I didn't want to ask because I'm, you know, they might be a competitor. And if they want to follow us, they can, but I'm not going to invite them to follow us, you know. This feels weird.
Yeah. And then when they do follow, it's kind of like, what
are
you
following us? You know, what are you wanting to find out?
Are you spying?
And it's okay. I mean, it's out there. It's the public information. They can spy if they want to.
Yep.
I would say I'm flattered that you're spying on us at this point because you think that we're doing such good stuff.
Right. Exactly. So,
but yeah, it's a great way to do that, to connect people. Also, if you have products, you can create showcase page for your particular products. And so one of our products is Sycamore Social, which we have as a social media platform that you can use to manage your social media. So we have a product page for that. We had another product for a website building platform that we had that we're in the middle of evolving right now to the next steps of it and bringing it more back in-house. But there's a product page out there for it on LinkedIn. And so those are very specific things because they were all their own brands within a brand. And so LinkedIn enables you to create those product pages for those all there in that same platform there. And they almost look like different separate pages, but they're connected to you though.
Right. Yeah. I think LinkedIn profiles are a really great way to set yourself up as the expert for whatever niche you're in.
Yep.
Especially when you're trying to connect with those different business connections and that kind of thing. All right. I've got one more and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
How do you feel about being able to nerd out with fellow people in your specific business? Because I know that's half the fun, is that sometimes there's content that the average person is not going to care about. They don't think it's interesting, whatever. But we think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
There's lots of fun for nerding out with fellow folks on LinkedIn.
I have a love-hate with that because I like being in the forums and kind of listening to what other people are saying, but I'm not much of a contributor into those because I just don't want to be that guy that's always like promoting, hey, go listen to our podcast from Dogwood Media because mm-hmm. we're the experts, you know? And so like, I don't know. I go back and forth. So I'm more of a consumer in those areas where mm-hmm. I like to hear from what other people are doing and just kind of catching them. Sometimes I'll comment on it and go, hey, we tried this and it did not work, or we tried this and it did work.
Yeah. Well, like I think about that post that was about time off, like how to mm-hmm. handle yeah. time off with your employees. And like that's something that you couldn't have that conversation on Facebook. Like that would be a weird conversation right. to have on Facebook. But amongst other business owners, you can nerd out about like, yeah. oh, this is what we tried and it worked really well.
Or and like, it actually was from that post that I went back in and changed our whole philosophy in time off, if I remember correctly.
I think so.
If that wasn't the one that inspired it, then it was one I was using to tell other people about how the research we had done had changed our whole philosophy on PTO. Mm-hmm. With Dogwood, we had an unlimited PTO policy. And we looked at it and we're like, no one's using this.
Yeah. Sounds and great in theory.
It did sound great in theory because we thought we were being like overly generous, but we're being super generous to our employees by trying to give them a lot of homework balance by offering all this time off. But what we found is that everyone was scared to take it because no one knew what they had. Mm-hmm. And so like when you don't know what's enough, when you say unlimited, what does that mean?
Right. Do you really mean unlimited?
Do you really mean that? Or does it really mean like 2 days?
Right. Know? Yeah.
And so like no one took any time. They would just take off the bare minimum, which in truth, you know, with this first 2 years, we kind of needed that, you know, be honest.
I think probably in 2019, the longest time that I took off was for my honeymoon. And I think that was like, what, 4 days?
So y'all should watch me by example, because that's the year I went to Hawaii for like 12 days. I had no shame. I went and took my 2 weeks time. Uh-huh. I'm very big into that. I love going on vacation and I love getting to take our kids and do experiences. And so for me, the unlimited time thing, I knew how to use it, but also I'm the owner of the company. It's right. in a different position than you as an employee who's like trying to wonder, oh, what's Brian really think about this? Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, if I take long times off, maybe other people take times off. It didn't work that way.
Right.
And we tried that for 2 years. And then we switched it to where we actually had 120 hours of PTO. And this past year, everyone used it. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Like we actually gave an award out for the person who used the most PTO time because we're trying to reinforce that we want y'all to take right. time
this
off.
This is good.
Right. Because we find that if you're taking the time off, if you're going on, like Sarah Kate did and went on a 2 week trip to Europe with her mom, like that's a good thing. Like it gives you time off. It gives you time away from here so mm-hmm. that you don't resent your work or right. get worn out. And so I feel like she came back rested and recharged and like, it truthfully kind of spoils you a little bit. And you're like, all right, now I'm ready for my next trip. You know, I went on a spurter trip myself this past year because mm-hmm. Me and my wife did a long trip for our 20th anniversary this past summer to Europe. And then we went on a trip at Thanksgiving, which wasn't as long because of the Thanksgiving holidays. And we did that with family. Then we went on another trip with some friends in December. Then did we do another one in January too? I don't remember.
Yeah, I went to New York.
Yeah, well, that was a weekend trip to New York. Yeah, we had this play we really wanted to go see. And so I took off like a Friday and a Monday or something like mm-hmm. that to go and do that. And so like, I'm trying to show everyone like, it's okay to take off. You can go do fun things, you know?
Right. Yeah. But those are the kind of conversations you can have on LinkedIn that, yes. you know, you wouldn't really be able to have in other platforms, at yep. least not as normally.
Right.
It would look kind of weird.
Yeah. If you went on Facebook and sort of like, hey, what are y'all's PTO policies? Right. Everyone's going to be like, what's PTO?
It's like, whatever, business owner. We don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Well, LinkedIn, though, you can jump in on those of other business owners and have those. So.
Yep. All right, folks. Well, if LinkedIn was not already your favorite social media platform, maybe Brian has convinced you. But maybe even if he hasn't convinced you that it's your favorite, at least hopefully you understand why it's so important, both from a personal standpoint and from a business standpoint. So thanks for being our guest today, Brian.
No problem. I'm glad to get to sit on this side of the microphone.
Yeah, well, they're in for a real treat because they get to have me be the host 2 weeks in a row.
Okay.
So, because next episode, they'll be with me again as I talk to our friend and former colleague, Nick Wells, about B-roll and its importance in video projects.
B-roll.
Yep, it'll be a good time. All right, folks, so if you like what you're hearing, you can head on over to our website, dogwoodmediasolutions.com, and check out the other blog content that we've written there. We've got 4 years worth of blogs, and we just keep writing them, so there's plenty of information there for you to check out. Also, if you're looking to connect with us, our website's the best place for you to go. You can contact us directly through there. You can also get to all of our social media accounts that are linked there as well. That's really the best way for you to contact us. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. That just helps us to get this information out to the folks that need to hear it. So, as always, thanks for turning into the Dogwood Media Solutions podcast. And until next time, happy marketing.